As we remain standing, let us pray. Lord, as we come to the familiar story of Easter, would you open our ears and our hearts that we might hear afresh the wonders of your gospel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you like to be seated? So there's no Sunday school today, but there are children scattered all around the nave, in the main nave here. They'll be out in South Transept, up in North Transept as well. So welcome everybody out in the overflow rooms as well. So we're going to do a sermon a little bit differently as we sometimes do at such occasions. Now, Easter time is a time of surprises. When we read the Gospels, we find that the disciples are surprised in many different ways on the first Resurrection Sunday. So help us learn about this. I have here four special Easter eggs. I keep them in this box so they don't hatch and then all fly away. Not really. So I got some Easter eggs here. Now, one of the things with Easter eggs, when you get them, you don't seem to have that many in Singapore, but in England, everybody has Easter eggs. Normally, from the outside of the Easter egg, you know what's going to be on the inside of the Easter egg, but not with my special Easter eggs today. We need to break open the Easter egg to find out what's on inside. So I would like a volunteer, a child volunteer, to come and open my first Easter egg. So who would like to come and do that, please? Thank you. Okay, do you want to come up here? Okay, can you open the egg up, see what's inside? You know what I did this morning? I accidentally said to somebody, Happy Christmas. It's a bit like Christmas, opening his wrapper up. Okay, can you show everybody what's in that Easter egg? Cool, you're doing that very carefully. Now hold one up. What do you think that is? A water drop. Not quite. It's a special type of water drop. What do you think it is now? A teardrop. Thank you. So we've got teardrops. That's the first thing. Yeah, pleasure. Give her a round of applause. So the first thing that we find in our Easter egg are tears. The tears remind us that there were lots of sadness and sorrow around at the first Easter time. There were lots of tears shed. And there was lots of tears shed leading up to Easter Day. We can think back to the upper room when Jesus met with his disciples and he was teaching them and he was telling them so very carefully that he was going to die on the cross, that he was going to be taken from them. And it says that their hearts were deeply troubled. They were very sorrowful of what they were hearing. Tears were shed. On the first Good Friday, as Jesus was hanging on the cross, around the cross, his mother was there, watching on. His friends, they were all there watching. And can you imagine all the tears that were being shed? So before we think about Resurrection Sunday, which we will do, we first of all remember that Jesus' body was broken on the cross, like this broken Easter egg. And Jesus went to the cross for our sin. It was our sin why Jesus went to the cross. So we begin by our own sorrow, by our own tears. Sorrow for the things that we do wrong. Sorrow for the sin that we commit. Sorry for the way that we hurt God and have not loved Him. Sorry for the way that we have hurt others. Sorry for the sin which we do that causes more brokenness in the world. So I'd like us now just to think of one thing this Easter time that you are doing wrong, that you know you have done wrong, maybe a thought or an attitude that you want to put right this Easter time, that you want to know the power of God to put right. And just think of that tear and like hold it in your heart. And think of that thing that you're thinking of, and let me pray a prayer for us, okay? So, Lord, this Easter time, we remember that it was for our sin that you went to the cross. We are sorry for the things that have caused sorrow to your heart. And we ask now for your help and your strength to live our lives as you wish us to. Amen. That's not the end of the sermon, by the way. More Easter eggs. So second Easter egg, and here I got my volunteer for my second Easter egg. Can you open that one for me? What's inside it? Can you hold it up and show everybody what's inside it? It's empty. That's a surprise, isn't it? I bet you thought there was something in there, but it's an empty egg, but you still get a prize. The empty egg helps us to understand the empty tomb. When the women and the disciples came to the tomb on the first Easter, they were so surprised to find it empty. We read in the Gospels how Mary of Magdalene saw it empty and wept. She thought somebody had stolen Jesus' body. The disciples all thought that it was a horrible trick. Imagine how they must have felt. I think their hearts were empty, like our empty Easter egg. I think their hearts were broken, like this egg. Jesus, who they had loved so much and who had loved them so much, had been crucified, and now his body was missing, and they didn't know what had happened. We read in John's Gospel how Mary Magdalene was so upset when she first went to the tomb. And then what happened? Jesus came alongside her. She was so upset, she didn't recognize Jesus. And then Jesus spoke her name. He said to her, Mary. And suddenly she realized that it was Jesus who had come alongside her. My master, she said, my teacher. And she was so excited that she went to tell the other disciples. I've seen the Lord, she said. I've seen the one who has forgiven me, the one who had lifted my burdens, the one who had cast demons out of me. He's alive. I've seen him. You see, Jesus came to Mary and he wiped away her tears and he bound up her broken heart. The broken and empty egg reminds us that Jesus knows how to deal with broken lives. He knows how to mend our broken hearts. He knows how to make us new again. This is why he came and why he rose from the dead. I've got two more eggs. Who's going to come and do my third egg? First, oh, there's a little one here. Don't run away with it. You going to open the egg up? This could take a while. What's inside? Whoa. Now, I don't think you can tell me. I'm going to give you a little sweetie in a minute. Thank you. Do you know what that is? It's a question mark. And you won't know what that says, but that says fear. We give her a clap. First of all, this egg is full of question marks. When the women first found the tomb empty, it said that they were perplexed. That's a word that means puzzled. It's like they were standing there, scratching their heads, wondering, what on earth has happened? I don't understand. Then in verse 11, we heard how when the women told the men that the angel said Jesus had risen, that they said it was like an idle tale, like a silly story. The men just did not believe what the women were saying. You see, they were full of questions and uncertainties and concerns and doubts and even disappointments. You see, Jesus had been taken from them and they didn't know what had happened. And they were not at all sure what was going on. We hear about the disciple called Thomas, who didn't believe anything at all. And he said, I'm not going to believe unless I see for myself. I want first-hand proof. Then we learn in Luke's gospel, there was another couple of disciples who, just after Good Friday, was so upset and disappointment, all they did was walked away out of Jerusalem to a place called Emmaus. They didn't understand what's happening. They were so disappointed, they walked away. They didn't understand what had happened. They were full of questions. They were also full of fears. The women, we're told in verse 5, were frightened when the angel told them that Jesus was risen. The word frightened actually means terrified. And the other gospels told us that they ran away trembling in fear. And then we read on in the evening. When the evening came, all the men and the women disciples, they gathered together and they went into an upper room and they closed the doors and closed the windows and they hid away in fear, not knowing what was going to happen. But then Jesus suddenly surprises them. John in chapter 20 tells us that he came and stood among them. And he said these wonderful words, peace be with you. Sometimes Jesus does that in our lives. He just comes alongside us. We don't know where he came from, but he's there in our difficult times. We find Jesus in our midst. He wants to bring peace to our troubled hearts. He wants to free us from the fear that so often binds us. And then when we read on in that passage, we find that when Jesus came into their midst, they were overwhelmed with joy. Alleluia! Christ is risen. Was not very joyful. Shall we try it again? Alleluia! Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia! The eggs filled with question marks and fear reminds us that Jesus, the risen one, wants to bring his truth into our confusion. He wants to walk with us through our doubts, because we all have doubts and questions. But he wants to be with us in those. He wants to free us from the fear that we so often feel. And he wants to bring to us peace and joy in our hearts. I got one more egg left. There, we've got another one queued up. Hello. Can you come up there? Why don't you come round here? Then maybe people can see what's in there. That's a good girl. You're also very careful at opening up presents. What's in there? Your eyes, did you see her eyes go bing? Did you saw all those sweeties? Do you want to take a handful of sweeties? No. I haven't got any more eggs. I've got these. You want chocolate, don't you? Here, you can have three. Okay, bless you. Thank you. Give her a clap. That's the sort of egg I like. Full up with nice things. Jesus had promised the disciples that when he was raised from the dead, that they would have life and have life in all of its fullness. That as soon as they believed, that he would fill their life with his life. And that life would be with them and last throughout eternity. Life in its fullness means being full of resurrection life. And you see, the life of Jesus fills us with resurrection hope. And he wants us to know his hope deep within our inside us. When I was preparing this sermon, I remembered a story about my dad, my father. It's a little bit sad, but it's got a great ending, okay? Because it's a story of when my father, my dad, passed away. My dad died quite suddenly and very surprisingly when I was serving as Vicar of Christ Church Bangkok. And it was 1 week before I was due to go on leave and see him. So I thought, oh, Dad, couldn't you just wait another week? But my dad had lived a really good life. My dad loved Jesus. Nevertheless, of course, I was very, very sad. And I know that he was very sad because my mum had died not soon before that. So my dad was still missing mum very much. Now, my dad was a gardener. Should come a picture up on the screen. My dad loved gardening. And he actually died while looking after and tending his garden. He was working very hard on it. And the garden was looking very, very beautiful. And my best friend found my dad lying with his head, laying next to the beautiful yellow rose bush that we had planted in memory of my mum. He'd been tending the rose bush of my mum when he died. And when we got there, and when I got there and I visited with my brother, we found that Dad had been tending that rose bush. So there's a picture of it. It wasn't quite like that because that's really pruned hard back. But he'd taken off all of the dead rosebuds and he'd clean it right up, but there was no flowers on it whatsoever. Now, it took a little while between my dad's death and the funeral because there needed to be an autopsy and it took a couple of weeks. So when my brother and I, we decided that we would, instead of going to a florist to get flowers, we would pick some of the beautiful flowers from my dad's garden and that's what we would put onto the coffin and take to the funeral. And so the day before the funeral, we went round with our cutters to go and cut a load of flowers. And the first thing I saw when I walked into the garden was Mum's rose bush, and it had burst into flower. Next picture. And hope filled my heart from that bush that had no life on it. Now it was bursting with life and new buds and new flowers. And for me, it was a wonderful sign of the resurrection life of Jesus. And so I took that into the funeral. I took that story into the funeral. And we had a funeral that was full of hope as well as sadness, as well as tears. There was joy and hope. Earlier we had an empty egg. It reminded us that Jesus has come to mend us, to heal us, to make us whole, that broken egg and that empty egg, an empty heart or a broken heart. And then we have this full egg. It reminds us that Jesus' promises are not empty, but Jesus' promises are full and abundant and wonderful. It reminds us that we can be filled with hope and life and joy and peace, even though sad things might be going on around us. It reminds us that Jesus wants to send the Holy Spirit to us, to fill us with his life and with his love and with his transforming power. So as I close, what sort of egg are we like? Should come up on the screen. Are we an egg full of tears and questions and fears? Maybe we feel like a broken egg in need of repairing and renewing. Maybe we feel like an empty egg in need of refreshing and filling up. Maybe we are like a full egg filled with the Spirit of the risen Jesus. Let's just pray for a moment. Let me pray to close this time together. Lord, we thank you that whatever our circumstances are, and here today, with all these people here, there will be many, many different feelings and circumstances and joys and sadnesses. But Lord, we know that amongst our life, you want to come and be with us in your risen life. So Lord, we pray that you would bring your truth and your peace to our questions and to our fears. that you would bring your healing to our brokenness, that you would bring your joy and your fullness into our emptiness, and that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.